All right, talking today with Michael Kelsey, Executive Vice President here at the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. And Michael, you all just got back from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's annual convention there in New Orleans. And I know there's was lots of discussion that happened out there. You've got the fake meat going on, as well as just several issues that cattlemen are facing. So tell us, just recap with us real quick what you all discussed out there.
You bet. It was a very good meeting in terms of attendance and very congenial in terms of cooperation. In other words, there wasn't a lot of contention over issues. The industry seems to be in agreement kind of moving forward. But you're exactly right. The fake meat or the lab meat was a big discussion point for us in continuing to urge the federal government, both USDA and FDA, to properly regulate. Of course, we would like to see USDA in more of an authoritative position than FDA, but there is a role that FDA plays. So we certainly had some good discussion about that. Disease traceability was a big topic as well. We are continuing to move down that road to understand how we can make that very cooperative for our industry. For instance, things like the speed of commerce, the cost, those types of things, to make sure we protect the health of our herd, of our national herd, in terms of disease traceability. So a lot of work we have to continue, but we've also made a lot of progress as well. Trade, big topic. It was a big issue that we talked a lot about, continuing to move the needle on positive beef trade. The opportunities that we have there are just boundless, and so we've got to continue a very aggressive approach to that policy side, which the Trump administration has shown and demonstrated that they're interested in doing so. So those were probably the three biggest. Some of the smaller issues in terms of regulatory, some of the things that we got into, obviously the tax, some of the tax policy as the Trump tax cuts that were initiated when he first started, as those things to kind of start to come due again, if you will, kind of positioning ourselves to be a leader in that conversation. The new WOTUS rule was a big topic. Again, we're in the kind of infant stages of it, so working on it. Some other issues as well, but really fake meat and trade and disease traceability were kind of the big topics for us.
Yeah. I know that with the divided government right now, NCBA, obviously, they're always working with folks on both sides of the aisle. So, but what talking with them and their officer team and with all the people on staff there, what's their feeling moving forward over these next couple of years with a Democrat-led House?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you're absolutely right. And it's really similar to kind of on the state level here. When we start talking agriculture, it's not so much Democrat and Republican. It gets to be a little more urban-rural in terms of the divide. And so, because we've got great friends on both sides of the aisle that for agriculture. And we also have some challenges on both sides of the aisle for agriculture. So again, it's not so much party. But then when you enter DC, we all know that it's so partisan there right now. And then with the divide in terms of the House being under the Democrats and the Senate being under the Republicans, we're going to struggle. In my conversations with the officers and the DC team, it's just going to struggle for us to move forward policy in general. Not so much because the policy is challenged politically, it's just that the environment in which you're trying to do so is so volatile and to some degree so toxic. And so I think that's going to just be a challenge. I think we're fortunate here in Oklahoma that we don't see that here at the legislative level here in Oklahoma. We've got a good cooperative relationship with all sides. We're seeing some great positive strides there. But boy, howdy, when it gets to D.C., we just may be in a deadlock here for a couple of years. Yeah. I hope not, but we may be.
Thankfully, though, the 2018 Farm Bill did make it past the finish line before all of this went down. The problem now is that we're kind of running behind on getting it implemented due to that government shutdown. So, but looking ahead, do you think they're going to be playing catch up here pretty quick?
I think so. But here's the other deal, though, Carson. On February 15th, we've got that deadline, if you will, that something according to the president needs to be done regarding the wall, border security, etc., or we'll enter another government shutdown. And that's going to be here before we know it, here in, 8 days or so. So we're just not seeing a lot of movement. I don't want to be a pessimist. You try to be a realist. But just realistically, it looks like we may be moving towards another shutdown. I hope not, because I'm like you. you're right, in terms of those programs under the Farm Bill, whether it be the conservation titles, the assistance titles, we don't deal much in the food program titles with SNAP, et cetera, but I would imagine they still have the same challenges there as well in terms of rolling those programs up, getting them initiated and getting them functioning. Can't do it with a government shutdown. So hopefully we won't see that happening, but man alive, it just looks like it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, there at USDA and in D.C., one of agriculture's biggest advocates, Sonny Perdue, Secretary of Agriculture, of course, talking with you guys there at NCBA. Were you encouraged by the message he shared with y'all?
You know, he went over time by a long ways for his time slot, and it was wonderful. He is such just a down-to-earth guy. I mean, he's a veterinarian from Georgia, who's been a governor, now Secretary of Agriculture. You just feel like he's one of us. I mean, he's so much common sense and realism. It was super. And such a wide variety of topics, whether it be the fake meat discussion, trade discussion, conservation, and even then our partners in other sectors of agriculture, such as field crops and the other proteins and so forth. Just a great, great. I kind of thought, wait a minute, we're kind of going long here. And sure enough, I looked at my watch and wow, he went over 20, 30 minutes. Wow. Nobody complained. We loved it. He was just super. So, I mean, he's welcome around our fire anytime because he's just doing such a great job.
Awesome. Well, so obviously a lot going on federally. Here at home, though, same thing. Lots of stuff going on. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at the legislative session right now. It's just getting underway.
Yeah, we're just finishing up our first week, and there are so many new freshmen over there, which is good from an energy and an idea and an enthusiasm standpoint. But it's challenging in terms of the process of how things go, if you will. Forget the issue, just how a bill moves forward, how a bill's heard in committee, all those types of things. There's just a training process. It's kind of like the first couple of days of school. You got to get everybody acclimated and so forth, and that's the same process. So, but we are moving forward. We've got a lot of good friends over there. I think it's just some things that are coming up here pretty quick that we're going to see actually this coming week. Secretary Arthur's confirmation in front of the Senate Ag Committee. That's going to be on Monday. We're really looking forward to that. She's just already doing a fantastic job, and we don't see any challenges with the Senate in terms of that happening. We're very supportive of her nomination, and we look forward to that moving through very quickly. We've got a couple of pretty big bills that were coming up. We've got a bill that we requested regarding fake meat here in Oklahoma, and the language just simply says you can't call a product beef unless it comes from a cow. And just to put it bluntly, unless she has it comes from a four-legged critter that chews its cud and speaks moo fluently, you can't call it beef. Now, you can make those products if a company wants to make them. That's fine. But how they label them is what the intent of this bill is. Not mandating a label, not requiring a label, just saying you can't use this term for that product. We've also got another couple of bills that we're working hard on, private property rights. In the coming weeks, we're going to see a bill that we've requested regarding groundwater rights. When eminent domain is used, a landowner should be able to hold on to that groundwater right. They may lose the surface for maybe a road expansion or something like that. They should be able to keep that groundwater right underneath the surface. So we're going to be working on those types of issues. But overall, just a settle-in process right now and educating new legislators who are really kind of drinking out of a fire hose because there's 20, you know, there were almost 3,000 bills, 2,815 bills, I believe, that were introduced. That's a lot. That's a lot of bills. And so they've got a big job ahead of them, and we're just getting started. A lot of enthusiasm, though, from the Stitt administration. Governor Stitt's done a fantastic job, and some of the folks he selected for key positions, such as Secretary of Ag, Secretary of Commerce, Secretary Copeland is fantastic. We're going to be working with that department very closely. Mm-hmm. So a lot of good things going on, but we're just getting ramped up and getting started. It kind of feels like that first week in school. You bet. Yeah.
So earlier you had mentioned about Oklahoma, you know, there is that rural and urban divide. Do you foresee a lot of cooperation this session?
Absolutely. Now, what's interesting in Oklahoma, if you consider the parties for just a moment, that the majority of the Democrats are urban and the Republicans are rural. There are some, obviously, some just from sheer numbers, there's urban Republicans as well. There's just not that many rural Democrats up there. The southeastern portion of the state is all red. In the House, and that I don't know that that's ever happened in the history of our state. And so, again, even as we're working the committee, the Ag Committee for our lab-based meat bill, we're talking to both, obviously, both sides of the aisle, getting excellent reception from both Republicans and Democrats, and even urban representatives, because they just get this issue. Hey, it ought to be, you know, beef is for this and not for this, and so forth. But again, we're going to be challenged on that urban versus rural. And again, it won't be so much party. It's simply just a perception, if you will. Well, it's part of our job to educate, to share with them cattlemen's and cattlewomen's story about what they're doing out every day. And hey, it's cold here the end of the week. They're out breaking ice. They're out feeding the cattle. They're making sure they're taken care of even before they eat themselves a lot of times. That's natural for us. But for a legislator, maybe from downtown Oklahoma City or downtown Tulsa, they're not aware of that. Mm-hmm. So we share that story with them and educate them and then say, by the way, we want to protect the integrity of our name, such as beef. We want to keep that groundwater right, whatever the case may be. Makes it more palatable for them to understand our perception and then work with us. That's our mission over there. And so far, we're having good success. We got a lot of work to do and a long road ahead of us. You bet.
One issue that hopefully we would like to think that everybody can rally around is a bill that you I know you all are paying attention to, and that's that ribeye bill that's coming through. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Senator Murdoch has just really teed up a great discussion for our industry. So the ribeye would be, if this bill is successful, which we certainly hope it will, and we've prioritized it, that would be the state steak. We have a state fruit, we have a state tree, a state bird, etc. The ribeye, a robust, juicy, flavorful, just, I mean, man, when you're talking cowboys, I mean, we all love a ribeye. And so we're excited about working with that bill. We've already had a lot of discussion in the legislature, a fun discussion. And I know some folks would say, well, hey, wait a minute, we've got a big budget and education and all these other big important issues. Why are we spending time on the ribeye? Fair question. But if we consider agriculture is the number two industry, beef is the number one of agriculture, I think it makes perfect sense for us to establish something we're very proud of and then allow our state to promote it, whether it be restaurants do so, grocery stores do so, even the state of Oklahoma from a tourism standpoint. You know, come to Oklahoma and have a ribeye, the state steak of Oklahoma. I think there's great opportunity for us to highlight one thing that we do really well, that we are definitely in the top 10, and that's the beef industry here in Oklahoma. So we are sure proud and thankful for Casey Murdoch, Senator Murdoch, for doing that for us. And it obviously he has a passion for it himself. We're going to have some fun with it, but it's also going to be very important that we continue to highlight our industry and work forward in that sense. So I'm excited about as that bill moves through, some of the press we're planning, you know, if you will, and so forth. It's going to be a lot of fun to do that.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, we'll just kind of end things on just a quick OCA update. Just tell us a little bit, just preview this year. I know you've got lots of events planned. What are members and everybody in store for this year?
Yeah, we're coming up here right now, if you will. We start the second week of February is our spring district meeting. So our six districts across the state will be meeting. We'll be providing legislative updates and other updates and so forth. It's a ribeye steak dinner. It's free to our members. All we ask is just, hey, let us know how many is coming so we know how much feed to put in the feed trough, if you will. But we'll be starting those soon. We've got our conventions coming up in July, our ranch rodeo in August. We've got our junior preview show in the first part of June, end of May. Our county meetings are really gearing up for their late winter, early spring meetings. Lots of excitement in the industry here in Oklahoma. Lots of excitement in OCA. We've got some leadership turnover that we're going to see. Weston Givens is finishing up his reign as president, and he's just done a phenomenal job. And he'll finish in July. Mike Weeks, our president-elect from over in the Stewart area, who's just going to do a fantastic job. He's going to be coming in as our president. So we've got a lot of excitement within our industry, within our association, and we're continuing to grow. Membership's growing. We're seeing younger folks come to our meetings. We're seeing a lot of strollers and baby car seats, and that's great. We're so excited about that, to see that at our district meetings and so forth. So a lot of enthusiasm. The beef industry is healthy. It's active. It's hard work. It's tough, volatile weather and markets, but it's rewarding, and it's something we want to do, and so we want to help that from a standpoint of our industry to grow here in Oklahoma. We're excited about 2019.